Welcome to the Nerd Party.
There are good decisions, there are bad decisions, and then there are the ones you shouldn't have to make at all. With a Barclays business account, a price promise means we'll proactively switch you to the best business tariff each year. We just think that's business common sense. To find out about moving your business account to Barclays, visit us in branch or go online at barclays.co.uk/business common sense. Terms and conditions apply. Only available on selected price plans.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Nerd Nuptial episode 14. 14 episodes. And right off the bat, if you've looked at the artwork, if you've seen the title, and if you're listening to this, you know we know that you have. We are going to be talking about Civil War. And you might be asking yourself, Marvel on Nerd Nuptial?
It's pretty crazy.
That doesn't sound right.
I know.
But before we get into that, we would like to say that we have a new 5-star review, and we like you guys know that when we get a new 5-star review, we mention you on the show. We'd love to thank BJM18. You said some really great things about us, and we thank you very much. And if you guys are listening, downloading, subscribing, and you're liking our show, please take the time. It just takes a couple of seconds. Go to iTunes, find Nerd Nuptial, and give us a rating. If you give us 5 stars, we'll mention you on the podcast.
Thank you.
So, Civil War, right off the bat, we don't even have an intro topic.
Nope.
Because what we did last time we did a movie review, we podcasted about it as soon as we were done watching the movie.
And that's what we're doing this time.
So we saw the movie, drove home, and we have not said a single thing about it to each other.
That's right.
So right off the bat, what did you think?
I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought that the title was a little misleading with the Captain America in the title, but I think it could have been called Avengers Civil War. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
That's funny that you bring that up, because a lot of people have that criticism where they say they're like, once they started releasing that all of these new characters were going to be coming in, they're like, is this a Captain America movie? And then when it said that Robert Downey was going to be in it, they're like, oh crap, it's going to be an Iron Man movie. And then it's Avengers 2.5. And the Russo brothers, the directors, they continually said, no, this is Cap's movie. This is Cap's movie. So you don't think it was Captain America's movie?
I mean, I can see a thread of Captain America in there. But because we added so many new characters and some of their backstories even, and we did definitely dwell on Iron Man quite a bit, I felt like, yeah, I really did not feel like this was a standalone Captain America movie at all.
Yeah, I think I'd hate to agree with you, because when it was first announced that all of this was going to go down, my first worry was, oh man, you know, like, this isn't going to be a Cap movie. I want this to be a Cap movie. And even though, like, I trust the Russo brothers and their intentions, I think that when you tackle a story like this, it's hard to have focus on just one character. And
I have to
agree with you. This didn't really feel like a Captain America movie. I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good.
It didn't feel like First Avenger and Winter Soldier, hardcore Captain America movies,
yes,
even though they had other characters in there.
Right.
But this one, yeah, it definitely felt... I feel like Cap got the same amount of screen time as he did in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I did too. I liked this movie better than Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
A lot better. But I seriously feel like it could have been titled Avengers Civil War.
Civil War, yeah. Which is kind of funny, because with the entire concept of the Civil War, it's about the Avengers being in a Civil War. And so it's kind of weird that this wasn't titled an Avengers film, that this was actually a standalone Cap film.
It almost feels like someone was told, hey, you can make a Captain America movie. And they were like, okay, great. we'll put that in the title. This is the movie I really want to make, but I can't actually make the Avengers movie. So here we go.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, and again, I don't think that detracts from the film whatsoever.
No, I liked it.
I think we got a lot of great Cap moments, fantastic Cap moments. I love the moments between Cap and Iron Man. And yeah, don't get me wrong. But yeah, it felt more like an Avengers film than a Captain America film.
Yeah.
Now, with that in mind, what did you think of the formula? Do you think it kind of went against the Marvel formula? Do you like, is this like any other Marvel film that you've seen before? Also, side note, have you ever been to a Marvel film in the theater before? Did you see Avengers?
Yes, I saw Avengers.
You saw Avengers, but that's the only one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
But you have seen other ones. I've shown you other ones.
Yes, of course. I've seen, you know, all of them.
So what do you think about the format? What do you think about the formula?
I liked it better than I think I liked previous ones. I feel like they got right into the nitty-gritty of what the problem was. Like, they kind of established that right away, mm-hmm. which I appreciated. And it didn't waste a ton of time on backstory. And any backstory that they did go into, it was for a purpose. You know, like, I really liked meeting Spider-Man for the first time. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, in the theater that we were in, that was a big crowd pleaser. A lot of people enjoyed the Spider-Man moments.
And I even liked the backstory of the Stark family, you know, with that hologram type deal, which was amazing. We kept looking at each other during Tony Stark like flashback. That was crazy.
Yes, that was crazy amazing. Now, guys, this is going to be a spoiler-filled review.
Yeah.
We don't really like doing non-spoiler films. So if you get to this point and you're like, oh, I haven't seen it yet, save it in the queue. Listen to it once you're done. Once you're done watching the movie, yeah, I was blown away by young Robert Downey Jr.
That was crazy.
That is probably the best CGI youngness makeup. You know, whatever you want to call it, a youthful makeup, as some people would say. It was the best I've ever seen. Like in Ant-Man, they did that with Michael Douglas, and I was blown away by that. I was like, wow, that's great. This was even better.
It was. It was awesome. And I felt like, again, they used it in a creative way to show that backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And then to when they referenced it later on in the movie, it all made sense. And so it didn't, like, frustrate me in any way. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are very thankful that we're not getting another Spider-Man origin story.
Yeah.
Where it's just like people are just so tired of seeing that spider bite into him. And
yeah, and we don't need that again.
I'm sure it'll be addressed in the new film. Hopefully not as much since he's already an established superhero now.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy Tony going and doing the personal touch.
Fun.
And I thought that was a fun interaction.
And I could see how some fans might be like bothered by that a little bit because it, you know, even like his suit and, you know, like, giving him his new suit and whatnot. I could see how that might be a bothersome, but I thought it was so well done that I was like, I'm okay with it. It's fun.
In the Civil War comics, Iron Man actually does make a suit
Spider-Man. Well, okay, cool. Awesome.
But it was very different in the Civil War comics.
Okay.
Because Spider-Man was very established in the Civil War comic.
Not like just had his powers for 6 months.
No. He was very established, and the Civil War comic was very much about unmasking. And in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there really isn't that big of a deal of unmasking. Like, everybody knows that Steve Rogers is Captain America, everybody knows that Bruce Banner's Thor, all that kind of business. Bruce Banner's not Thor. I don't know why I said that. Bruce Banner is the Hulk. But with in the comic books, it's called the Iron Spider. And, like, he has tentacles that come out. It's very much like an Iron Man suit for Spider-Man.
Looks
really cool. But I'm glad that they didn't do it in this one. It would have been a little bit too difficult, I think. But when in the theater, I mean, all of the Spider-Man moments, people loved.
Oh, yeah.
I had a hard time adjusting to what I was seeing. Like, in my mind, Spider-Man does not belong in this cinematic universe. Now, I'm happy he's there. Don't get me wrong. But it was just, it'll take some adjustment for me to think of Spider-Man MCU, Spider-Man MCU. Because seeing him right up against Captain America and Iron Man, everything like that, I've seen it in comics for years, but on the big screen, I was just like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, I could see that. I was okay with it just because I think that I was so disappointed by so many of the Spider-Man movies that to kind of see him in a new light was kind of refreshing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I had no idea that Aunt May was going to be in the movie. Like,
although I feel like that casting choice was a little strange. And I thought it was funny, though, that they drew attention to your super attractive Aunt May.
Yeah.
Like, really? She's Aunt May?
when I first heard the casting news, I like Marissa Tomei. Like, don't get me wrong. I like her as an actress. I think she's great. But when I heard that she was casted as Aunt May, I was like, wait, what? Aunt May is like a little old lady in the comics,
right?
And she's always been a little old lady. And I was like, 4 years ago, Marissa Tomei was playing a stripper. You know? Now she's playing Aunt May. You know, I like previously played by Sally Field. I don't know. It took me off guard. And but yeah, it was very funny when Tony said, "You're surprisingly attractive, Aunt May." Oh, but so we got a lot of new introductions. So since we're already talking about new characters and everything like that, Black Panther, first impressions.
I thought he looked really cool.
Right?
Really awesome. And maybe I was dumb, but I didn't necessarily make the connection right away that it was the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. Prince. That's pretty dumb of me, but I didn't make that connection right away. And then I kind of thought that was a cool backstory to establish that it was done very briefly, you know, with his father and like showing the death and then, you know, to see him in action and then just kind of like to hear that he had been protecting his, you know, his kingdom for as Black Panther. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And I like that he established that it was a mantle that was passed down for generations.
That was awesome.
Kind of like the Phantom, you know, it's just,
you know what I really liked about it? I liked that when he and Captain America fought, he scratched the shield and they kept that the entire way.
Yes.
And I was like, that's cool.
Yes. I was looking for that.
Right?
I was looking for them to erase that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if we're going to see that in the next film because, I mean, like he has vibranium claws and Cap's shield is made of vibranium. So the only thing that could scratch it is vibranium. And so I feel like they kind of have to keep it, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they have to.
I think.
I thought it was cool. Cool detail there.
Yeah, I was very surprised at how well and how efficient they introduced Black Panther. You know, like, he's such an interesting character in the comic books. He could have had an origin film all his own, but I'm glad he didn't get one because he's going to have a movie later on that's all about him. But I'm glad that they handled his origins here. Maybe we'll get some more backstory. I'm sure that we will.
Sure.
But I like how Marvel is handling these origins now, where it's just like they recognize that people are just kind of like, even if it's a new character, do we have to have the beginning and middle and end of them finding themselves?
Right.
But then again, I guess Doctor Strange is coming out.
That's true. I don't know, but I think that this movie did a really good job with that, establishing them and then letting them be a part of that universe. And then, I mean, I was surprised how readily I was to accept these new members into, you know, the fold of both sides. So I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, I was too. I was surprised at how easily they fit in. And I thought it was interesting because I thought that there was going to be more animosity between the two parties, because, you know, like when I found out that Clint and Romanoff were going to be against each other, I was like, oh, that's going to be a source of great drama. But then just like, oh, we're fighting just for show, and it didn't really address anything about their relationship. And I was like, okay, I guess that's one way to go. I mean, I'm glad that they're still friends, but at the same time, I wanted that dramatic moment between the two of them where, like, Clint just says, like, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you doing this and everything like that?
Yeah, and I think that actually that kind of brings me to my... I mean, I don't have a lot of criticism of this movie, but I think that the character development in this movie, I think in some ways was good. Like, I think that they did a really good job between Iron Man and Cap. I think that that was really good. But some of the other ones I felt like kind of fell to the wayside... Exactly what you were just saying, where I feel like there would have been more tension between other characters choosing sides. And I felt like it was very like, I'm on this side, I'm on this side.
Yeah.
And there wasn't that like emotional decision necessarily.
The struggle.
Yeah, the struggle wasn't there as much as I was anticipating.
And I completely agree with you. I 100% agree with you. I feel like, yeah, that inner struggle between Cap and Iron Man was done fantastically. And that's why we're there.
Right,
that's why we're
right.
there. You know, that's why we all bought
exactly.
our tickets, is to see that. And so I'm glad that they nailed that. But yeah, I agree with you about how the characters fell to the wayside. But I feel like that's kind of a victim of the format.
I was going to say, and at the same token, how can you really do everything you need to do in the film and mm-hmm. like dive into each character? That's not really possible.
Not possible.
I acknowledge that. It's just there were certain moments I think that there were missed opportunities to make a connection
yeah.
with the audience or with, you know, different characters.
It was like seeing all the Avengers together. It was weird not seeing Thor
it
and
was.
Hulk. And the next Thor movie is going to be focusing on Thor and Hulk.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be like Cap and Romanoff in Winter Soldier.
Okay.
I think that it's going to be like that buddy movie.
Buddy movie, okay.
So that'll be interesting to see them again. But the thing is that Hulk and Thor are so powerful.
That's true. It would alter this a lot if they were involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I feel like Vision was toned down a great deal.
Yeah, I totally noticed that. A lot.
Like when he was introduced into Age of Ultron, you're just like, holy crap, this guy is practically a god, you know, like Thor.
This is a secret weapon.
Yeah, this is and I felt like they dumbed Vision down, his powers, and built Scarlet Witch up like crazy.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, the fact that they were even able to be equals mm-hmm. was I did not get that from Age of Ultron necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah, I did. Like, I thought, you know, Scarlet Witch's powers were really cool and very powerful
oh, yeah.
in Age of Ultron. But Vision was Vision. Like, Vision was
right.
just, like, on another level. And now it feels like, I don't even think we can call them equals. I feel like Scarlet Witch is now more powerful than Vision.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is kind of surprising
That
to
is
me.
Surprising. Yeah. I liked Scarlet Witch in this a lot. I thought that her character was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't dig on her that much in Ultron, but I liked her in this one.
Right. And I also, for a moment there, I was like, are they trying to do some type of, like, romantic thing? Did you get that?
With
Vision
and
a little
Witch?
Bit? Yeah.
I think so. I think that's what they were trying
okay.
to do.
Okay. That was a little weird.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Because they, like, established that she's kind of young. And then he's Vision. I don't know. That was a little strange to me.
Well, technically, Vision's younger than Witch.
Well, I guess. I guess you're right. But I, it's different categories to me. But, yeah. I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
And I like Vision. But I just, it was a little, I was repelled a little bit by that
okay.
interaction.
Well, I think he's built like a Ken doll, so I don't think he can actually do anything. So I don't think we have anything to worry
okay,
about.
Okay. Well, I don't really want that to be confirmed, but...
Okay, so we talked about Black Panther, awesome. Spider-Man,
yeah.
awesome. Scarlet Witch and Vision, adjustment of portrayals. And so Ant-Man, what do you think about throwing Ant-Man in there? Could we have done without Ant-Man? Was it funny? Was it cool?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I was totally, like, when I heard that he was going to be part of it, I was like, that's going to be weird, really?
Yeah.
But when he was thrown into it, I thought that was pretty cool. And I even was all right with him being gigantic at that one point. Like, I mean, I think that they played it off mm-hmm. in just the right amount of
right.
way. And it wasn't like he dominated anything. It was just them there for like little quips and
yeah.
for the humor of the scene. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I thought they did a nice job of putting him in there for just the right
yes.
amount of time.
If it had been any more, I think it would have been off-putting.
I completely agree. I mean, Ant-Man was an okay film for me. I know a lot of people liked it, but it's not like it was Winter Soldier. It's, you know, it's not like it was Avengers.
He's a different type of superhero.
He's a different type of superhero. And I'm glad so many people liked it. And I really like that actor. I like
yeah.
him. And I like
awesome.
His quips. I felt like he's kind of like Spider-Man with his quips and his humility.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think I think I enjoyed him more in this movie, in Civil War, than I did his entire standalone film.
That's really funny. Yeah, and speaking of like Spider-Man and Ant-Man being kind of the same type of character, where you know they're kind of new to the whole thing, and
yeah.
you know they realize that they're not an Iron Man. They realize that they're not a Captain America. I thought that even though they had two of those like characters, I didn't feel like, oh, well, there's young Ant-Man or there's, you know, Spider-Man. I didn't feel like they were competing for the quips, yes. which yes. I thought was really impressive because you could totally see that happening.
Yeah, you could absolutely see it be a battle of who's the funniest mm-hmm. in this, who's the biggest smartass in this battle.
Right.
And I think that just goes to show that this was well written. I think
it was.
This was well paced. The dialogue was not hokey. I thought the acting was even better here than it was in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I did too.
I like Winter Soldier a lot, but yeah. I feel like the acting was more believable in this one.
I agree. I think that they definitely know their characters and yeah. in the situation, even like their facial expressions. If there's like a moment where they're being told by the government that, you know, there's going to be government control and everything, they're sitting around the table mm-hmm. and you could see like Scarlett Johansson like taking it all in and like evaluating it, and you could totally see that in her face, and I was like she really knows her character and what she'd be feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
And I thought that was not what I was expecting from a Marvel movie. So
yeah, I think that's one thing that I've really enjoyed about the Russo brothers taking on these movies, is because both of their movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe do not follow the same format as every other movie. Like, you look at Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, Thor 1, Thor 2, you know, and you look at Avengers 2, you look at all these movies, and you can dissect them and basically, they have interchangeable parts.
Yeah.
And I know that some people are screaming at me right now because you
Well, I'm not, because you know how I feel about Marvel. But
yeah, yeah. But I'm glad that the Russo brothers, like when Winter Soldier came around, it's like, oh, we've never seen a Marvel movie like this before.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did it again with Civil War, where it's like, oh my gosh, we have never seen a Marvel film like this before. So I'm really glad that they did that. And speaking of Marvel and how you feel and everything like that, do you know what pisses me off?
What? A lot pisses you off, so I don't know.
That's true. I have to get more specific. It pisses me off that the latest Captain America film is a stronger film than the latest Batman film.
Marvel knows what they're doing.
When
Disney knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Here's the thing, is that I never thought I'd say the words, oh, the latest Captain America film? 10 times better than the latest Batman film.
It was.
And, you know, after
completely.
After seeing what, you know, like Batman 89, and then seeing what Nolan did with it, you know, Marvel could not compete with those movies, especially the Nolanverse. I'm sorry. Every single Nolan film is better than every single Marvel film. In my humble opinion, this is my personal opinion of Tristan Riddell, but Batman vs. Superman, even though I enjoyed watching it, I recognize that it's not a well-made film. Civil War is a well-made film.
Yes. And I think that part of that, too, is whether you're a Marvel or DC mm-hmm. fan. I mean, we tend to be DC fans, and I admittedly am completely a DC fan.
Unabashed,
you know, yeah. And I feel like with DC, just the universe being much more hidden. You know, you were talked about how we all know who these, you know, masked people are in mm-hmm. the Marvel universe. I love the mystique of the DC universe. Mm-hmm. I like that hidden identity. I appreciate that. I like that ordinary people doing, you know, unusual things or like, mm-hmm. you know, creative things with their powers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, the Marvel universe, they just are like, no, everyone, we know who these people are. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, they have the Avengers. It's established. We know who they are. But they do a really good job of using those characters in a very entertaining way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot deny that. You can't deny that the franchise is stronger at the moment.
Yeah, it's sad but true. That's the thing, is that, like, I feel like, like you said, we're hardcore DC fans.
Oh, yeah.
We love DC. We love Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, the Trinity. We love that.
Of course.
We love them. And we love the comic books. We love the cartoons. We love the animation, the animated movies. We love all of that stuff. But Marvel, just like the Kevin Feige and his crew, They just know what comic book fans want in their pictures.
It's true. It's true. And they're listening.
Yes.
And so I just feel like at the moment you have to give it to them. I mean, right now, when you like, which movie would you rather watch? Batman versus Superman or Civil War again?
Well, I don't know.
Because Batman?
Yeah, I don't know. Batman's Batman. I don't know. Like, I don't want
to. It's not as good of a movie.
No, it's not. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to watch it again.
No, I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it again. I'm just saying that Civil War was a much more enjoyable movie than Batman versus Superman.
Okay, here's the thing.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I agree. Okay. I know that. I mean, like, for those of you who have listened to our previous, and you should, if you haven't, go back and listen to Puff the Magic Kryptonite, which I'm very proud of that title.
You didn't get enough credit.
I did not get enough credit on that title. Sorry, baby. No one patted me on the back and said, Tristan, that's really funny. You're a clever SOB. You know, like, no one said that.
That's all you want.
That's all I wanted. Just one person. But it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, go listen to Puff the Magic Kryptonite, and you can hear us talk about Batman vs. Superman. You did not like it. I did, but I was able to recognize its faults. Now, I met the movie more than halfway, and I'm interested to see it again. I want to, because, like, when I saw when I saw Star Wars, you know, I wasn't sure how I felt about it, and I enjoyed it more when I watched it at home. And I feel like maybe I'll enjoy it more with at home with Batman vs. Superman, and I'm interested in the extended cut. But, you know, it's hard for me to say, like, oh, I want to watch Civil War again just because we just watched it, you know, like.
I guess. And I guess when I, like, look back, I want to watch more of Batman. But if I was to say, you know, let's watch a better movie, it would definitely be Civil War. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because I always want more Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, yeah. But Civil War is a better film.
Now, I want to talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff a little bit.
Okay.
And I think that people will agree with me here that Kevin Feige is kind of the guy. You know, he's the guy behind the Marvel CU. You know, like, he's the driving force behind all of these movies. You know, he's the EP on every single film. And once Avengers came around, they tapped Whedon. They tapped Joss Whedon, and he had a huge success. With Avengers. Big success.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we want you to be the guy. Kevin Feige went to Whedon and said, you're the guy. Whedon's like, okay. And so he was kind of a creative on other standalone films after Avengers. He was kind of the guy who said, it's like, okay, well, you know, like, add this into your movie so that we can tie that into later. So, like, he was the guy pulling the strings. And then Age of Ultron happened. And it made a crap ton of money, but a lot of people didn't enjoy it as much. He claimed Marvel was interfering too much, and then Marvel said, you know, like, Whedon was just not listening or whatever. You know, you could read between the lines. No one outright said this, but
you're always going to blame the other person.
Right. Now, the Russo brothers are now taking the place of Whedon because they're going to direct the next two Avenger films. Now, the Russo, like, Whedon proved himself with the first one, but then failed on the second one. I guess we can all agree on that. I think that it did not meet expectations. Maybe it didn't fail.
Right, maybe not fail, but...
It didn't meet expectations. Right. The Russo brothers, one with Winter Soldier and one with Civil War. And now they've earned that Avengers spot.
Yeah.
You go over to DC. Okay? They tried their first venture into a cinematic universe was Man of Steel because they tried to erase that Green Lantern happened.
We all tried to pretend.
We all pretended that it didn't happen. And so Man of Steel was directed by Zack Snyder, and it wasn't a bad movie, but it definitely wasn't a good movie. And it had very mixed reviews, and, you know, people were just like, oh, you know, what are they doing with the character? But DC was like, oh no, let's get Snyder to do the next one. Let's turn it into a Batman versus Superman film. And then the critical acclaim of Batman vs. Superman was 24% on Rotten Tomato. And now he's still the guy. You know, like, before Batman vs. Superman was released, he was already well into pre-production for Justice League, and they started shooting Justice League, like, right when the movie came out. And so now we're stuck with Snyder. And It's just like in front of...
And they bet on the wrong horse.
Exactly. They bet on the wrong horse. And there are Snyder films that I like. There's aspects of Snyder that I like. But even if you liked Batman versus Superman, it is clear that they bet on the wrong horse. And instead of saying, okay, maybe we should bet on a different horse or even go to a different track, they're just like, nope, Snyder again. And
well, I mean, if you can do that to Joss Whedon, then you can do that to Zack Snyder. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because Whedon was like a very big name and he did really well with the first Avengers. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't so great with the second, you know, Age of Ultron. And then it was like, you know, this, okay, now we're moving on. Now we're going to choose someone else.
Yeah.
Now, again, I mean, we basically just saw an Avengers movie. Yeah. But, but I mean, I think that those are, it's going to be a good continuation of the franchise by using these directors that clearly understand the characters and get it and are giving us something different. So, I mean, you've been telling me that. I didn't know that until now. Telling me that the Russo brothers are directing the next Avengers, I look forward to that because I think that that could maybe change some things about the franchise that I'm not really 100% on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right. I think giving them the keys to the kingdom could change that kingdom.
Right.
Because these, like, we have phase one, phase two, phase three, and everything like that. It's not, these people aren't going to be around forever. You know, like, these characters aren't going to be around forever. And so, like, it needs to evolve. The universe needs to evolve. We've been doing this for almost a decade now.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy to think about.
So, yeah, it just, it needs to continue in a different form. And I think the Russo brothers are the people that can do that, where they can take what they love about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what everybody else loves about it, but then also introduce new formats, new types, and everything like that. And yeah, I can't wait for the Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2, you know, movies and everything like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I'm not a big Marvel fan, but Winter Soldier and Civil War definitely makes me take a second look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm not, you know, do I want to watch those characters all the time? Not really. I think that's what it is, is I'm not a huge fan of those characters. But the fact that they're willing to do all these different things with the storylines and know the characters really well, I have to appreciate that. And I want to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like the whole Snyder thing is just they bet on the wrong, like we said, they bet on the wrong horse, but at the same time contracted that horse to race in the next Derby. And they're just like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
You know, like,
what do you do now?
Yeah. Like, he has a contract. So maybe we should just make Ben Affleck an executive producer. Oh, wait, they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like Zack Snyder's aesthetic.
Yes.
And I think that that does not just make a good movie, though.
No,
and
doesn't.
I think that's part of what the problem was. I mean, if you look at how the structure of this movie was, it was Civil War. It was much tighter and established. I mean, I know that they've had a lot more movies to establish themselves, but in the same right, we all know Batman, we all know Superman, and why was Batman versus Superman such a disappointment?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is that, like, you know, hardcore fans knew about Iron Man. Hardcore fans knew about Captain America. Everybody knows about Superman. Everybody knows about Batman.
They have a leg up on that.
Yeah.
No one know. I mean, no, not no one, but not very many people know about Scarlet Witch or Black Panther. And Marvel's making those a part of the zeitgeist where everyone knows those characters now. And they did that by, you know, with the first Avengers, they did that with some of the characters that we had no idea about until, you know, unless you're a hardcore comic book fan. But with Batman versus Superman, those are established characters. We know those characters.
It's ingrained in us.
It is. And so what's the problem?
Yeah. 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 I think it's an issue of we have a person who was given the keys to the kingdom, and he has a very different view of those characters than the world does.
Yeah.
He takes the aspects that we all love about Superman and Batman and then kind of buries them, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But we're not here to talk about Batman versus Superman. But I mean, everybody knew that this was going to happen. Everybody knew that people were going to.
And they're recent, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People knew that we were, like, not just we, but nerds were going to compare these two movies. And
it's hard not to.
It's really hard not to because, you know, like, it's, you know, have Iron Man versus Cap, Batman versus Superman. You know,
exactly.
Like you have these two teams of titans going against each other. And so, yeah, naturally they're going to be compared.
Even the motivation. Like, think about the motivation in Civil War of them becoming at odds. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're differing opinions. You know, they both in their own way are right.
Mm-hmm.
Batman versus Superman. Think about the motivation. It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. And there wasn't a history behind them for us to care that they were at odds.
Yeah. Yes.
Whereas Cap and Iron Man, we cared because we'd seen them in so many movies before and we know their relationship. And we can see both sides. Batman versus Superman, they didn't give us enough of that.
It would have been much more interesting if Batman v Superman came much later. You know, after we got an established Batman, after we got Superman kind of coming back, and then, you know, like they could do some sort of storyline where Superman just broke and we have no idea why. And it would make sense because in the comic books, this happens all the time. Batman always knows how to take out every single person of the Justice League. And I think that would have been much more interesting at a later date. But with this one, with Civil War, I think this was the right time.
Yeah,
to address this because of all the reasons that General Admiral, I don't know, said, you know, it's like New York, Sokovia, you know, like, and he just started Washington, D.C., like listing all these disasters. And, oh, side note, if Tony's mom's name was Martha, I would have freaking lost it.
That would have been awesome.
He said, instead of him saying he killed my mom, he's like, he killed Martha! Martha!
That would have been amazing. Would have been amazing. And then Bucky's like, my mom's name is Martha too.
My mom's name is Martha too. Oh my god.
Oh, it's okay, it's cool.
Oh my god. And then they just hug it out and have coffee.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, also I want to say that I'm gonna find the tweet. It, but I called it months ago, and this very much inflates my ego, where as soon as we saw the clip of Bucky trying to rip out the chest plate of Iron Man, I was like, he's going to lose his arm hard. And I wrote it down, folks.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I was just like, like, he is not going to succeed in ripping that out. His arm is going to get blown off. And I was so happy that I was right. Because that was an awesome moment.
Yeah, I also kind of liked that they put him in hibernation. They were like, okay, I'm just going to calm down for a little bit. Like, you've done enough damage. Like, and he even says it. He's kind of like...
He's like, I get it, guys.
I get it. Just put me away.
It's cool.
I think that was hilarious.
It's fine. Yeah. I think you and I were the only ones, like, laughing at the theater during that.
Just like,
it was supposed to be this touching moment.
Whatever.
And, yeah.
I was like, yeah, put him away.
Yeah, this guy's crazy. People don't like him. But what did you think about the ending? What did you think about Cap defeating Iron Man? Did you think he should have defeated Iron Man? Do you think it should have been a draw? Do you think it, you know, Iron Man should have won?
If the movie wasn't called Captain America: Civil War, I would have said it probably would have been a draw, kind of like Batman versus Superman. But because it was named after him, I was okay with Cap winning.
Mm-hmm.
I did like how things weren't perfect at the end, but it kind of made things better, especially with, like, you know, breaking them all out and whatnot. Because, you know, I didn't want those guys just to be left in that underwater prison. That was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, uncomfortable to see them in that way, actually.
Especially Clint. And,
yeah. And Scarlet Witch, you know, even more, like, Sam, contained and stuff. So I liked how that ended, and I liked how Black Panther, you know, was kind of giving them refuge and whatnot. So I was okay with it. And I think that it kind of, yes, it did tie it up at the end, but there was still a lot that needed to be done, which I liked.
In the comic books, if I'm remembering correctly, and forgive me, folks, because I might be remembering some things incorrectly. It was a long time ago when I read it, but Captain America gave himself up at the end of the comic books, and the last image we see of him is incarcerated. And I think he negotiated that if he gave up, if he surrendered, then everybody else would be released.
Oh.
So I really thought that that was going to be the way that they were going to go. Oh, speaking of me getting things wrong, I have to address last episode when we were talking about High Rise, I mistakenly thought the last quote was by Ayn Rand, and it was not by Ayn Rand. It was by Margaret Thatcher, and our good friend and co-host on Senate floor, Lee Hutchison, informed me of that in a very nice way. Very nice way. Most of the time when I'm wrong, people are like, no, you're stupid. Like, why would you even think that? So yes, I have to apologize to everyone. I got that one wrong. Anyway, moving on.
Just had to own up to it.
I had to own up to it. You know, like when, as a nerd, you know, if you get something wrong, you got to say.
Well, and when you're so passionate too, it makes it even worse when you're wrong.
You're like passionate hatred towards
exactly,
the movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway.
But no hatred towards Civil War.
No hatred towards Civil War. No, like I have my criticisms. There are things that I didn't like. Like we mentioned about, you know, like the side characters and everything like that. But at the same time, I can excuse them for the things that I didn't like.
It wasn't enough to turn me off to the movie. Right. There was never a moment in this film where I was just like shaking my head being like, oh, like I was in Batman versus Superman. Or I was just like seething at certain points. There was none of that. And maybe it's because I don't feel as protective of these characters.
Could be.
You know, I'd be interested to talk to a hardcore Marvel fan and ask them what their opinion was about, you know, certain moments. But maybe it's because I'm not as protective. But I feel like they did a really good job.
Well, if you want to know
a Marvel fan's
thoughts, you can listen to the latest Senate Floor that is going to be coming out in a couple days after we release Nerd Nuptial. So I told him that we were just going to use Civil War as an intro topic. So
yeah, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen at all. Like originally, we really thought it was just going to be an intro topic, but then we're like, oh wow, this is good.
Yeah.
Like this is a good movie.
Yeah.
We need to talk
exactly.
about it. Exactly. So yeah, so everyone who is listening to the sound of my voice, you should listen to the Senate Floor that drops on Wednesday, and it'll be a very different podcast.
For sure.
I'm sure he loves it, and I'm sure Lee loved it. But yeah, it'll be very different because, I mean, they're hardcore Marvel fans and we're not.
Right, right.
So everyone should listen.
The DC perspective.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's what we could call this episode.
That's right.
A DC perspective of Civil War. Oh, yeah. So the ending with the final moments of the battle. Like, I'm super glad that the airport battle was not the final battle.
Yeah, me too.
Because
I felt like it would have been at that moment.
I think a lot of people thought, like with the trailer, how the trailer was going, I think a lot of people thought that would have been the ending. But I'm glad that they didn't do that because we needed that intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
We needed that up close and personal interaction between Cap and Iron Man. And I found it incredibly interesting. And like when Cap beats off Iron Man's helmet, and then lifts up his shield, we're all supposed to think for a millisecond,
yeah,
oh, he's going to kill Tony. Now, in the, you know, our conscious minds, of course, know that Cap would never do that. But in that split second, you're supposed to believe that. And I feel like that was achieved by the Russo
brothers. Oh, yeah, it definitely was. I thought it was really cool. And I liked how it was much more one-on-one, that, you know, ending fight with mm-hmm. Tony and Bucky and Cap, how it was like, this is the core.
So one-on-one-on-one.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess so. This core of, this is where the conflict is.
Yes.
And so let's hash it out right here. You know, yes, we can all choose our sides and all, like, you know, rally around our teams, but here's where the core conflict is, and let's hash it out.
That's why I feel like this was well-written, well-produced, and
well-directed,
because they knew where the story was.
Yes.
They knew that the spectacle was at the airport, but the story, the conflict, mm-hmm. is at that final battle between
three
of them.
The emotion.
The emotion. And that's why it wins.
Yeah, I mean,
that's,
it totally does.
That's why it's good.
Yeah.
You know, because we can... Matt Hansen once told me that the reason why... Okay, let me rephrase this. I don't like that the Snyder universe is referred to as the murderverse, because we've seen Superman kill one person, and we saw Batman kill a whole bunch of people in his journey. And I was like, okay, I get that, you know, I get why people would be upset, because in a separate universe in the Nolan verse, as well as in the comics, he says he's not going to kill. Now, he never said that in the Snyder verse, but yet we're still calling it the murder verse. You look at any other Marvel film, they kill people all the time.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
All the time, but we don't call it the murder verse. Hansen once yelled at me because I brought this up, and he says it's a false equivalency. You know, they never said that they weren't going to kill people. I was like, so just because one person in a different universe, a different continuity altogether, said that they weren't going to kill anyone, we're now judging them in this new universe. And I said, and then he said, he's like, well, at least they have joy in doing it. And I said, I was like, wait, in killing people? And he's like, yeah, it's funny, it's entertaining. And I said, I was like, so if they kill with a smile on their face, it's better than when Batman did it? And he kind of just said yes. And I'm not trying to make fun of Hansen, because I love Hansen. Matt, if you're listening, I love you. You know I do. But the sheer fact, I feel like Batman v Superman is getting a bad rap for killing bad guys when Civil War and other Marvel films.
So many people died.
We have people killing bad guys. Like, it's
constantly.
Killing bad guys.
But we don't have, you know, in Batman, you don't have like a quip afterwards. That's the only difference. Yeah. So, I mean, and I also hate it when people say that Batman movies are not fun. Like, I don't need jokes to make my superhero film.
Yeah.
I need superheroes doing superhero things. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I don't like Marvel as a whole, is because they kind of say it with a wink. They, you know, do a punch and a wink. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I liked Civil War.
But Civil War was done well. I feel like they found the right balance.
In my mind and be like, okay, this is Marvel. Mm-hmm. This is DC. Right. This is more serious. This is more fun. Mm-hmm. This is for, in my opinion, more for like happy masses. Mm-hmm. This is for DC fans who like more serious Nolan-esque, you know, universe.
Absolutely. And you cannot tell me if by seeing that scene where Batman is saving Martha in the warehouse, he never told a joke, but that was entertaining as hell.
Yeah, and I think the definition of entertaining, there's multiple definitions of entertaining. You can't just put it in a box.
And folks, this is coming from two people who were heavily critical
and
of
very
Batman
versus
Superman.
And very passionate.
Yes.
About Batman in general. And so, and let's be honest, serious things. Like, we, you know, love serious films. Mm-hmm. But we also can enjoy Marvel because it's fun. But I sometimes can't even compare the two unless it's something like this where we're comparing Batman versus Superman, Iron Man versus Captain America, because in my mind I have to separate them because of the tones of the films are so different.
I think that's a very solid point, because for a long time I felt like Marvel and DC was apples and oranges. You know, like, I just felt like it's a completely different league. It's complete, like, and that was around, like, when Nolan, you know, was still doing it. It's just, you know, they didn't look anything, they were on a completely different level than Marvel. Marvel was doing its own thing, and the DC.
And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's fine. And then once Man of Steel came out, it was, you know, still apples and oranges. But when, like you said, when you have something with Batman versus Superman, boom, that's the movie. And then you have Civil War, as in Team Cap, Team Iron Man.
Right.
They're gonna get compared, and
and so close together, too. You have to think about that. I mean, it's the same time
period. Very close together. And even though I think it's completely unfair to label the Snyderverse the murderverse, especially with in the Burton movies, like,
we
saw Keaton literally stick dynamite down some dude's pants, and then he exploded. We never once called that the murderverse.
Right.
So it's unfair.
It is unfair.
But that doesn't make it a good movie.
Right, exactly.
That's what we're trying
to
say.
It's true.
Murderverse
and
unfair.
We're very protective of Batman in general.
It's true. So it's probably a knee-jerk.
I think that it might be that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't like it when people only feel like they can have to bash one or the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, like right now, I mean, yes, I like DC better, but I have to acknowledge that in this case, Marvel's doing really well and very entertaining.
Okay. Well, how about this? We'll give final ratings. And since we're DC fans, let's do it on a DC scale, okay?
Okay.
One being Green Lantern. 10 being The Dark Knight. Where do you put Civil War?
The Dark Knight Rises.
Same level as Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, I do.
I can see that.
I do.
I can see that.
I think it's just as entertaining.
I think Dark Knight Rises is a little bit better than Civil War, and I'll tell you for one reason. Because it's Batman!
That's right. And in this household, that wins every time.
That wins every single time. I think that's good. You gave it a Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. I think that's solid. Yeah.
Which is high.
In this household, that's really high. Even if there was a lot of people who didn't like Dark Knight Rises, in this household.
That is high rankings here.
That's high rankings, guys. For me, where would I put it? I think I would put it just, I think it's just below Dark Knight Rises for me. Yeah, it's just below Dark Knight Rises. On a Marvel scale, I have no idea where I would put it. Because I'm still battling. I was like, do I like it more than Winter Soldier? Do I like it less? I feel like I like it more. But at the same time, I really loved that there was more Cap in Winter Soldier.
That's true.
I don't know. To me, they're kind of equal right now. Like, maybe once we buy it and, you know, watch it again at home, maybe I'll have a differing of opinion.
For me, right now, I think Winter Soldier and Civil War are right at the top because I wasn't a huge fan of any of the Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think those two are definitely above any other Marvel movie for me.
Yeah. Even Thor.
I found it not a lot of people liked Thor.
Yeah, we liked it.
We liked it a lot. I loved the first. The second one was crap.
Yeah, I didn't like the second.
I loved the first one. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of people's lists, a lot of people's Marvel's lists, and Thor's really low.
Really?
So I was very surprised by that. But people like what they like. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for listening, downloading, and subscribing. If you like us, please go to iTunes, leave us a review. It really means a lot to us.
Yes,
it
please.
Keeps us up on the lists. And the more exposure we get, the more listens. And it just makes us happier.
That's right.
And you can find me on Twitter at The Insane Robin. You can find our show Twitter at Join Nerd Party. And you can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com. Or you can just go to our website where you can find every single episode of all three of our shows at thenerdparty.com. You can find Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast. And you can find a General Geek podcast at The Senate Floor. And also, if you haven't already, everyone needs to download and listen to an all-crew Star Wars The Force Awakens commentary minus the girl.
I was going to say, I couldn't be there.
You couldn't be there. Everybody was...
It was very entertaining, though. I enjoyed listening.
Well, thank you very much. We had a great time doing it. We, like, Matt Hansen, Matt Rushing, John Mills, Lee Hutchison, Tristan Riddell.
A lot of strong personalities there.
Yeah, everybody wants you to be a part of the next one, but, like, what did you say to me?
Oh, I said, I was like, I would have to, like, really fight to stand my ground amongst all of you, because you're such a... strong voices.
Strong wills.
That's right. Strong
loud
will.
Voices.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Some tension there sometimes.
There's a little bit. Friction.
Yeah. But it was entertaining. I enjoyed it. There was a few times when I winced a little bit. I was like, oh, calm down.
Like somebody struck a nerve.
Yeah. But I'm not going to lie. If I was there, it probably would have happened too.
Because
so.
You are a woman of strong opinions
That's
and strong
true,
wills.
Especially when it comes to Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So... And there was a Star Wars reference in Civil War, so I appreciated
there was.
That.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. All right, guys, thank you so much. And like I said, go to thenerdparty.com for everything Nerd Party and follow us at Join Nerd Party. And I'm glad that we're podcasting right after we saw the movie.
Me too. And guess what?
What?
I love you.
I know.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Morning.
Evans?
Downey? Is that the last donut with red, white, and blue sprinkles? What did I tell you would happen if you ate the last donut with red, white, and blue sprinkles?
A little foggy on it, but I think it was something like raining down hellfire.
That's right.
And here I am without an umbrella.
I feel a storm brewing.
Hold on, if we don't play that back, I'm canceling the press tour.
There are good decisions, there are bad decisions, and then there are the ones you shouldn't have to make at all. With a Barclays business account, our price promise means we'll proactively switch you to the best business tariff each year. We just think that's business common sense. To find out about moving your business account to Barclays, visit us in branch or go online at barclays.co.uk/businesscommonsense. Terms and conditions apply. Only available on selected price plans.